The Fibber, McGee, and Molly Show. Every weekday at this time, NBC brings you Fibber, McGee, and Molly transcribed. The show is written by Bill Leslie and Ralph Goodman and directed by Max Hutton. We'll join Fibber and Molly in just a moment. Each day, every American lives a miracle. You find that miracle in your daily life, in the amazing fact that every worker is laboring to supply the needs of every other worker. As if by magic, you find your newspaper and milk on the doorstep in the morning. You find transportation and shops and services to meet every desire. And the miracle of all this is that none of it happens under compulsion. It all happens voluntarily. But that's part of another miracle, the miracle of the whole American economic system, the system that has created the most productive nation on earth. We enjoy the highest standard of living in all history, and we've only begun. We know that our standard of living will rise still higher, bringing us more benefits and leisure time as we produce more goods. And while we have made ourselves stronger economically, we have retained the basic freedoms of each individual. We work where we choose. We bargain collectively, contract our own affairs, and profit from our own inventiveness and enterprise. Yes, that's the American economic system. Since Mr. McGee of 79 Wistful Vista took over the renting of the house next door, he's been a pretty busy man. People have been dropping in and the phone keeps ringing, but the matter of finding the right kind of tenant is not as easy as he thought. He's on the phone right now.
Yes, and besides that, there's a large fenced yard and a nice patio in the back, and we live right next door, so if anything goes wrong with your boiler or if the roof leaks again like it did before, I'm right here to stuff some rags in there until the storm blows over. And, you wouldn't be interested. I see. Well, no harm trying. Goodbye.
Who was that?
Wrong number.
Wrong number?
Yeah. That guy's called four times this week asking for Eunice Petrosky. I thought while I had him on the phone, I'd tell him about the house.
Oh, he'd make a fine neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
He could run over here every day to borrow a cup of sugar and Eunice Petrosky.
Yeah, well, he sounds like a nice guy, and we want to get the right kind of a tenant for Mr. Ingram.
Yes, and as soon as possible, too.
Yep.
I wish you had rented it to that first couple who came by this morning. They were the nicest people we've seen so far.
Sure.
Well, what was the matter with them?
They were the first ones to come, and that's what was the matter with them. My gosh, kiddo, you never take the first deal that comes along. That'd be like walking into a used car lot and buying the first car they showed you. Be like marrying the first guy that asks you.
That's what I did.
Well, I might have been the first guy to ask you, but you made me ask you 17 times, though. If that first couple comes back 17 times, I'll rent the house to them. I'm just screening all the applicants, that's all.
Personally, I wish you'd throw away your screen and use a net. I'd like to see you catch one at this point.
Don't worry, I'll find the right tenants before the day is over. And when I see them, I'll know. There'd be a certain look in their eyes that tells me they're quiet, honest, trustworthy, loyal, clean, and reverent.
I don't know. How many Boy Scouts rent houses these days?
Okay, Molly. Scoff, if you want to. D-ride. But by George, you'll see. And don't forget, I'm making a fat $20 a month commission on this deal every month. And that is not hay.
No, but you'll probably work like a horse to earn it. Here we go again. Now, you answer it this time, McGee. I have to get dinner started.
Okay. Oh, there goes a good kid. Even though she didn't want me to take this deal, she's on my side. But if it don't turn out right, she'll be on my neck, so I'd better... Yes?
How do you do, sir? Are you the people who have that house next door that's for rent?
Well, I'm one of the people, yes. McGee is my name.
Well, Hartford is mine. J.P. Hartford.
Well, I'm glad to meet you, J.P. Before I ask you, do you have any pets?
Oh, no, sir. My wife can't stand too much excitement or noise.
Good.
She's out in the car. That Cadillac parked in your driveway.
Oh, Cadillac, huh? Well, come in, won't you?
I better wipe my feet first. It's damp out.
Mm? Oh, sure. You're pretty neat, aren't you?
Well, I do hate to get things dirty.
Yeah. Well, you just keep wiping and step in when you're through. I'll get my wife. Hey, Molly.
Psst. What is it?
I found him. The right tenants.
You did?
Listen, how neat that guy is. See him wiping his feet at the door there?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's just him and his wife. No pets. They drive a nice new Cadillac, and anybody who's as neat as he is... Well, hurry up. Come on and meet him. This looks like it. Come on.
Oh, goodness. I hope so.
Mr. Hartford, this is my wife, Molly.
How do you do, I'm sure.
Well, I'm thoroughly charmed, Mrs. McGee. Now, about that house. As I understand it, the place has two bedrooms and a den and Oh, yes, I can see from here a nice enclosed yard.
Yeah, we're asking $125 a month, Mr. Hartford.
$125. Well, it looks like a nice place. Completely furnished?
Everything but the groceries. There's been a lot of people begging us to let them have it, of course, but we've been waiting for the right people to come along, and you look to us like them.
Yes, if you're interested in the place, Mr. Hartford, we'll be happy to let you have it.
Oh, I'm delighted, Mrs. McGee. And Mrs. Hartford and I will do the best we can with it. Now, if you two will just sign this contract, assuring me of my commission...
Your commission? Wait a minute. Aren't you looking for a house to rent, to live in?
Oh, no, sir. We're rental agents.
Rental agents?
What? Why?
Certainly. Ordinarily, I don't fool with small deals like this, but the Cadillac isn't paid for yet, and I...
You!
Would...
Why,
hey,
you!
Hey, now, wait a minute. For God's sake, your hands off me. This not going...
Oh, McGee, turn the man loose. McGee!
And you get your dirty old Cadillac out of my driveway. Huh. Of all the phony four-flushing trying to steal my commission.
Back to Wistful Vista in a minute. One of the most precious freedoms guaranteed to us by our Constitution and by our way of life is the freedom to worship as we please. Faith in God has always been a cornerstone in American democracy, and since our first beginnings, America's religious institutions have strengthened the fabric of our daily lives. Among other things, religious faith stabilizes the family and holds it together. Attendance at churches and synagogues builds the moral and spiritual character of our people and helps them to be tolerant, responsible citizens. Religious leaders have always been distinguished in the giving of personal guidance to those with pressing problems. In our armed services, chaplains of all faiths give comfort and moral armament to those who fight for freedom. Clearly, then, religion plays a great role in our way of life, a role that grows in importance each day in a world where moral and spiritual values are too easily exchanged for material and selfish values. We urge you, therefore, to attend church or synagogue with your families regularly and to support your community church during the current Religion in American Life campaign.
Oh, dear, there it goes again. 79 Wistful Vista, Molly McGee speaking. Yes, we're the people who have that house for rent. Well, I'd rather you discuss all that with my husband. He's the one who takes care of that.
It's me, kiddo.
Oh, here he comes now. He was showing the house to a prospective tenant.
Who is it?
Did you rent the house yet, dearie?
No, let me talk to them.
You did? Then these people are too late. Well, I'm sorry, but the house is already rented. Better luck next time.
Hey, what'd you hang up for? I told you I didn't have
some college students wanted to move in.
Well, what's wrong with college students?
Well, 30 of them.
Oh.
They wanted to turn the place into a fraternity house. Said this looked like a nice, quiet neighborhood for initiations.
Oh, but it's one thing, it's another. You know that nice little man, the bachelor, who was just in here that I just showed the house to? He turned it down.
What was the trouble? Was the house too big?
No. Said the bathtub was too small.
What?
Mm-hmm. You know that pet he was talking about, the one that sits up and begs?
Yeah.
Trained seal.
Oh, dear. And you almost rented it to him.
Yeah.
You know, we could get ourselves into a terrible mess with Mr. Ingram's house, McGee. I wish you hadn't gotten into this thing.
Why, what's wrong with picking myself up an easy $20 every month just for letting a tenant trot over here and bring me the rent money when it's due?
What tenant? We've had 18 people here so far, and...
There'll be more. Incidentally, while I was over at Ingram's house this time, I checked that attic door just to make sure it was locked. It was.
I know.
How did you?
I checked it myself this morning.
Oh.
Just to be sure. We promised the man we wouldn't open it, and we won't.
Where'd you hide that attic key? Come on, Molly. Come on, where?
We're not going to go back on our word. We promise.
Yeah, but gee whiz, Molly, we don't know too much about old man Ingram, you know. What if it turned out he had a trunk full of counterfeit money up there or something?
Leave it there. With your luck, sweetheart, I can just see you standing in that attic with a trunk full of counterfeit greenbacks as the police come charging up the stairs, firing off their pistols and shouting, "Aha! We caught you green-handed." No, sir, we made a promise...
Oh, hey, I'll bet that's Professor Schnabel. I'll let him in.
Who?
Professor Schnabel called about the house. He's a retired scientist, a zoologist.
A what?
A zoologist. You know, he studies zoos. He's taken a few months off to write a book, and I told him how Ingram's house is a kind of a temporary rental, so he was...
You better let him in before he changes his mind.
Yeah. Professor Schnabel?
Yeah, I was beginning to think it was my bad memory again and I had the wrong house.
No, this is right. Come in, won't you?
Well, if it is all right, I just like to see the house. I have an appointment in a half hour with Mr. Einstein.
Albert Einstein?
No, Irving Einstein, mein Baba.
Oh, yeah, well, certainly. We won't delay you. Now, here are the keys, McGee. Show the professor the house.
Certainly. After you, Professor.
Thank you.
You'll find that everything is just perfect for a book writer. Pencil sharpener in the den and on. Hey, Molly. Hey, kiddo. Where are you?
Here in the kitchen. Did the professor like the place?
Like it? He's crazy about it.
Oh, good.
Oh, boy, what a break. A quiet little guy who just sits around writing a book all day. And a scientist, besides. Somebody I can have long intellectual chats with in the evening.
Then he's going to take it?
Oh, looks like it. He's just getting some kind of a bone out of his car, and he's coming right in.
Some kind of a bone?
Yeah, I couldn't make out what he was saying. You know how hard it is for them foreign guys to pick up the English idiomatics. It ain't an easy language to master.
No, no, it sure ain't.
What the triple-deckered holy smoke is that?
I don't know. He didn't hit a dog when he drove in the driveway, did he?
I hope not. My gosh, does that sound awful. Maybe somebody...
I hope the professor didn't hear it. He may change his mind if it's noisy here.
Yeah.
You know, that house is perfect. Wunderbar, I take it.
Ah, you hear that, Molly? We now have a scientist for our next-door neighbor. Professor, I and you'll have lots of enervating conversations together. We'll work out...
McGee. Remember that bone you mentioned that he was getting out of his car? What is that under his arm?
A trombone. My gosh, that noise was him.
Oh, folks, you don't need to worry about this. With me, the trombone is just a hobby.
Yeah, but...
No, I don't play it in the daytime. Just a few hours at night when everybody's asleep and I play soft and sweet like this.
Oh, no.
Heavenly days.
Oh, this is discouraging.
Fibber and Molly will be right back. More, more, more. Yes, there's more great new entertainment now on the NBC Radio Network with a host of exciting new programs introduced during the past month on this station. You'll hear many of these fine new shows when you keep tuned to this station during the weekend that's coming up. And you'll continue to hear such marvelous programs as the NBC Symphony Orchestra, which continues to thrill audiences from coast to coast in its live broadcasts from New York's Carnegie Hall. Throughout the week, you'll hear some of the finest radio entertainment on the air when you tune your dial to this NBC spot. More Americans enjoy One Man's Family, the news of the world, and Fibber McGee and Molly than any other five times a week program according to nationwide surveys. And that's just an indication of the great programming presented for your listening pleasure on your own local NBC station. When you turn on your radio receiver, always tune first to the spot where you hear the familiar NBC chimes, your invitation to the finest of all radio listening.
Well, here comes another weekend.
Yeah, but I'm not worried. We'll find the exact right kind of tenants for that house yet.
Mm.
You watch and see. If I don't get that house rented over this weekend, you know what I'm going to do?
What?
Try again Monday.
Oh.
Yeah. Good night.
Good night, all.
NBC has brought you the Fibber, McGee, and Molly program, transcribed with Jack Crucian as Professor Schnabel. This is John Wald inviting you to be with us again Monday night for another visit with Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
Tomorrow, enjoy Bill Cullen and your road show on the NBC Radio Network.
The Fibber, McGee, and Molly Show. NBC and Richard Hudnut, makers of enriched cream shampoo and cream rinse, present Fibber, McGee, and Molly, transcribed. The show was written by Phil Leslie and Ralph Goodman and directed by Max Hutto. We'll join Fibber and Molly in just a moment. Here's a pretty shocking fact. Hundreds of millions of people behind the Iron Curtain are victims of vicious lies about the United States. Yes, communism continues to take the initiative in the propaganda war.
We must not only stop the spread of communist influence among peoples that are still free, but we must also fight the tyranny of those it has already enslaved. The Crusade for Freedom, created by General Lucius D. Clay, offers each of us as individuals the opportunity to strike a blow for freedom. This blow can be struck through Radio Free Europe, an independent citizen-sponsored organization which broadcasts the message of democracy through the Iron Curtain every day, hour after hour. It brings hope and truth to enslaved peoples, spiking lies and undermining the influence of red rulers. Radio Free Europe is a partnership of Americans and exiles of enslaved countries who broadcast to their compatriots in their own idiom. Join the crusade by contributing your truth dollar. Send your contribution to Crusade for Freedom, care of your local postmaster. After you've spent a week showing a house for rent to a couple of dozen prospects a day without finding the right tenant for it, pretty soon you get so you jump every time the phone rings. And after a while, you begin to jump when it doesn't ring.
What was that, Molly? What was that?
What was what?
The phone. I thought I heard the phone ring. Did you hear the phone? Did it ring, the phone?
Not a tinkle.
Oh.
That ringing is probably in your ears. This business of trying to rent Mr. Ingram's house for him is more of a strain than you think.
Well, don't you worry. We'll get it rented. I was upstairs in our attic a while ago, and I got a brand new idea.
What were you doing in the attic? Are you still trying to see into the attic next door?
Nah. Who cares what old man Ingram's got hid away in his old attic? If he don't want us to look in there and he wants us to just rent the rest of the house and not give the new tenant the attic key, okay, who cares? You didn't lose that key, did you?
No, I just hid it away in case who cares starts getting curious in the middle of the night again and tries to get it out from under my pillow.
I wasn't looking for that key last night.
Then what were you doing with your head under my pillow?
Well, you know what a restless sleeper I am.
You're as restless as a sack of cement.
Anyway, I wasn't upstairs to try to peek into Ingram's attic. I don't waste my time that way. That window of his has got the shade down.
How did you happen to notice that?
Never mind. The point is, I'm going to get that house rented. I'm going to paint us a sign about 3 feet high that says, House for Rent, and put it on the front lawn.
Good idea.
And that's what I went up in the attic for, to get my paints and brushes and a hunk of cardboard.
Where are they?
In the garage. I just remembered. I'm going out there in a minute and paint a sign that you can read from here to...
Oh, maybe this is a tenant now. Come in. Well, Dr. Gamble, come in.
Hello, Molly, and good morning to you, Fever Blister.
Hi, Pumpkin Smuggler. What's the good word, boy?
The good word today, my boy, is aspirin.
Aspirin?
Without it, I couldn't stay in business.
Oh, so that's what you give your patients when they come in, is it?
No, that's what I take when they leave. If you had to sit and listen to the monotonous recitation of fancied indispositions that I hear in a day, you'd wonder how the human race survives. If you call this race human.
Why, you sound a little bitter, Doctor. Having a rough week?
Oh, about normal, Molly. For instance, yesterday, Mrs. Greenbaum came in and asked if I was too busy to take care of a little pain for her.
Uh-huh.
I said, of course not. And the next thing I knew, she yelled, come in here, Irving. You stay with the doctor till Mama comes back. Slammed the door and was gone.
That serves you right for being so eager. Take care of a little pain, huh?
Irving was no little pain.
Yeah.
He was chronic and critical. I finally had to take out my tonsils to amuse him.
You took out your own tonsils?
Mm-hmm. How'd you do that, with a mirror?
No, they're rubber tonsils that I use for chalk talks.
Oh.
But the Greenbaum lad was nothing compared to what happened to me this morning.
Well, what was that?
Mort and Mabel Toops brought that little punk... little youngster of theirs in for a cold shot.
Oh, Willie Toops. Oh, he's a demon.
To put it mildly. Hates doctors, and he's needle-shy.
What'd you do?
Well, I put him on the table, and four of us tried to hold him.
Wow.
In the tussle, my nurse dropped her glasses. Mort Toops stepped on them. The nurse gave me 5,000 units of penicillin in the upper arm before I could holler, that's the wrong epidermis.
Well, I suppose we all have our problems, Doctor.
Yeah.
Ours right now is trying to rent a house.
You mean you still haven't found tenants for the house next door?
No.
I sent a couple over to look at it Monday. What happened after you talked to them?
Tuesday.
Oh.
What I'm going to do today, though, I'm going to put a big sign on the front lawn, Petzl.
It's getting to be quite a problem, Doctor. If you hear of anyone else looking for a nice house, let us know, will you?
I'll be glad to, Molly. I'll find somebody for you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye, Doctor.
Well, I better get started on the sign, I guess.
Personally, I'd just as soon forget the whole thing at this point.
Me too, but I promised Ingram I'd get that house rented for him, and when I make a promise like that, I wish you'd stop me, because you know what always happens. This sign don't do the job.
Back to Wistful Vista in a minute.
Hello, I'm your Richard Hudnut beauty advisor. Here's exciting beauty news for you busy women. It's about an amazing shampoo that gives your hair a beautiful egg sheen in just 3 minutes' time. This remarkable beautifier is called Richard Hudnut Enriched Cream Shampoo. It's made with real eggs, powdered in a wonderful cleansing formula that suds right up even in hardest water. Every drop of this Golden Lotion Cream Shampoo is enriched with egg protein. And since hair itself is protein, it naturally benefits from this affinity of protein to protein. It's nature's own way to put a beautiful sheen in your hair. You'll love the way your hair gleams, smooth and shiny as bridal satin. And ladies, nobody's too busy to take a minute more for Richard Hudnut Cream Rinse. It seals in that fine glimmer and gleam, protects it with a fragrant beauty finish. Take my advice and try this quick two-step way to truly beautiful hair. Richard Hudnut Enriched Cream Shampoo and Richard Hudnut Cream Rinse.
Phew. It's getting cold out in that garage.
That you, McGee?
Yep. Boy, wait till you see that sign, Molly. 3 feet tall with letters in red that says house for rent, two bedrooms and den, enclosed yard and garage, and charming neighbors. Reasonable.
Sounds fine. You've only been out there an hour or two. You must have worked fast.
Well, I'm not through with it yet, of course.
What have you got so far?
So far, I got the sign all propped up, ready to paint. Reason I came in is to get the electric heater. My fingers are colder than a pawnbroker's smile.
The wires are all frayed on that heater, McGee. Ooh. Won't it be dangerous?
Oh, maybe. I didn't want to use it unless I had to, but after the fire in that wastebasket spread all over the floor, I thought I had
fire? You mean you started a fire in the garage?
Oh, just in that metal wastebasket to warm my hands with. Didn't hurt anything till I knocked it over and the oil drippings on the floor started to catch fire, and then I had to shovel up some dirt in the yard to smother it with.
Well, that was an awful silly thing to do.
Well, I had to. I couldn't stomp it out. Oh, what are these? I found them in the dirt I dug up.
Oh, for goodness sakes, my dahlia bulbs.
Oh, are they good to eat, roasted?
Of course not. They're not good for anything, roasted. Oh, there's Mabel Toops out in front. She's driving me to the beauty parlor.
Oh?
I'll be home about 4 or 4:30.
Okay.
The electric heater's on the back porch, and do be careful.
Okay. I'll have the sign all done when you get back. Nothing's going to stop me now.
Good, good. 1 o'clock. Mabel's earlier than I thought. I got my coat and my purse and hat. All right, I'm coming. Hello, Mabel. We have lots of time, dear. Oh, say, can you wait a few minutes, Mabel? I think those people want to look at the house next door. Yes, Dr. Gamble, I'd have called you 3 hours ago, but I just got home from the beauty parlor. Yes, they were here, and I showed them the house, and they took it and gave me the rent. I was just going out the door when they came. Yes, they're a lovely young couple. We'll be glad to have them. Oh, good heavens. McGee, he's been out in the garage painting a for rent sign all afternoon, and the house was rented hours ago. No, I tore out of here to the beauty parlor and forgot all. I'll call you back later, doctor. Bye. Oh, dear, he'll have a fit when I tell him all his work was unnecessary. Here he comes.
Grocery boy!
Oh, I'm glad it's you, Mr. Oldtimer.
Hi, daughter. Brung your groceries. The tattoo artist said to the sailor who had two girlfriends, where'll I put them?
Just set them there on the sink. That's all right.
Here we are. You ought to make Johnny lay off that heavy food, daughter. Bad for both of us carrying around all that weight. Where's the boy? Sleeping?
No, he's out in the garage, and I don't know just what to do. You see...
Oh, locked yourself in again, did he? Where's the crowbar?
No, no, he isn't locked in. He's out there painting a sign for rent. You see...
For rent? Who's he going to rent a sign to, daughter? Why, that's silly. Nobody rents signs, they buy signs.
No, the sign isn't for rent. It's the house that's for rent. McGee is out there...
Oh, painting the house, is he? Kind of cold weather for that, ain't it? to be done?
Please, Mr. Oldtimer, will you let me tell you? He isn't painting a house. He's painting a sign that says house for rent only. The house is already rented. Do you understand?
No, I can't say that I do, daughter. Do you?
Well, I'm not sure at this point. I only know that he's been working in that coal garage for 4 hours and all his work was for nothing. And I could have told him 3 hours ago.
Hey, Molly. Hey, come in here in the living room, will you?
Oh, dear.
Come on in here and look at this. Ain't this the prettiest thing you ever saw?
He's got the sign done, sounds like. Hi, Johnny.
Oh, hi, old-timer. Come on in here. I want to show you some pretty work, boy.
Well, I may as well face it. I don't blame him a bit for being sore because I ran off to the beauty parlor and never once thought to tell him.
Wait till you two see this. It's a dandy.
Dearie, I don't know how to explain.
You don't know how, Johnny.
Look, look at this.
What? What's that?
My old model airplane engine I found in the garage. Runs like a top two. Listen. Well, it will when I finish fixing it. I only spent 4 hours on it so far, and if
Is that what you've been doing all afternoon?
You said something about renting a sign, daughter.
Oh, the sign. Well, I can do that tomorrow, Molly, can't I? I was having so much fun with this little engine. Oh, don't be mad with me, kiddo. Now, you aren't sore, are you?
No, I'm not mad at all, sweetheart.
Isn't this great news, finding this little engine? I thought I'd never see it again.
Yes, McGee. And I have some news for you. We just rented the house. A friend of Dr. Gamble's. Nice young couple came over and they said they'd take it. Now, what do you think of that?
Hey, listen to this engine run, will you? Here, I'll start it again. Now, listen.
Rent him the house, Johnny!
Oh, well, I'll tell him tomorrow. When he's this way, there's no use...
Bibber and Molly will be right back. Thursday evening is filled with fun when you set your radio dial to this same station. And when we talk about fun, you'll find the best of it each week on Truth or Consequences, the zany stunt game that keeps all America intrigued each time Ralph Edwards steps before the NBC microphones. The unusual is commonplace when it's time for Truth or Consequences. Be sure to be in the audience tomorrow and every Thursday evening when Ralph Edwards presents America's favorite party game, Truth or Consequences. Each Thursday, you'll hear the best Western adventure and songs from the Double R Bar Ranch on The Roy Rogers Show. It's 30 minutes of top entertainment presented by Roy, Dale Evans, Pat Brady, and the Whippoorwills. Make your date for entertainment with The Roy Rogers Show tomorrow. Then stay tuned for Father Knows Best with Robert Young in the title role. As the beleaguered head of the Anderson household, Robert Young finds more times than not that Father knows best about only one thing, trouble. Be sure to hear Father Knows Best tomorrow evening. Thursday's another great day on the NBC Radio Network.
Oh, they're a very nice young couple, McGee. They love the house and they're moving in next week.
Oh, swell. I told you I'd rent that house, didn't I?
Yes, you did, repeatedly.
Hey, but how about the attic? Did they beef? Because if they insist on opening that attic or they won't take the house, I'll go kick the door down and ride in here and tell them.
No. No, McGee. They didn't mind a bit. Here's their check. The attic stays locked.
Good night.
Good night, all.
NBC and Richard Hudnut, makers of Enriched Cream Shampoo and Cream Rinse, have brought you the Fibber, McGee, and Molly program transcribed with Bill Thompson as the old-timer and Arthur Q. Bryan as Dr. Gamble.
How about that attic? Will it stay locked? Will Mr. McGee resist temptation? We'll see.
This is John Wald inviting you to be with us again tomorrow night for another visit with Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
Tomorrow night, enjoy The Roy Rogers Show on the NBC Radio Network.